us what they're doing in Romania, and we're anxious about that, but let me open us in prayer, and I'll turn it over to Ken. Father, we're so grateful, dear Lord, that you have your people and that you've given us the Great Commission, and Father, that we are so privileged to be called by the name of Jesus Christ into his service, Father. Lord, I pray that you would bless this time together. Help Ken and glorify your name and the things that are said and done. And Father, that you would use him even in our lives and hearts to open our minds and ourselves to him and to what is going on there, that we might be a people of prayer earnestly for the work there. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Come, brother.
I'm going to bring Monika up. She's going to run my slides for me. We try to script these things because, you know, in your own life experience, every picture that you keep, no matter what it is, you have probably 100 stories to go with each picture. So we'd be here all day if I was given free rein. I want to thank you for your praying for my daughter and her husband Frank and family after the passing of their child. It was a rough time, as you can imagine, but finally the state of Florida has come out with a finding that it was a nothing caused by the parents. It was just a SIDS death, and I'm so proud of Frank, who led his family and truly, I think, honored Christ in the way he led his family and taught his boys to minister to others who came for the funeral through their grief. And so God was very good there. So thank you for praying. We're going to start this morning I want to start with this from the Apostle Paul. You remember in Philippi, chapter 1 of the book of Philippians, the Apostle Paul says to the church that I thank God for all remembrance of you. We thank God for you guys. Your faithfulness over the years in supporting our ministry in Romania is a testimony of God's grace and the unity of God's people as we try to take the gospel to people all over the world. And that includes not only the Romanian people, but the internationals that we also serve in the country of Romania. Monika arrived in the U.S. at the end of June to help our daughter Nikita with the birth of her second child, and then she went to Florida to help our daughter Alyssa with the birth of her fifth child. I arrived on the 21st, and it was a blessing to be able to visit both our daughters and their families, and we now have 14 grandchildren, and we are exhausted. Monika and I currently serve with Straight Up Missions in Romania, and for those of you who may not have been in previous presentations that we've done, we want to give you kind of a background of where is Romania and a little bit of flavor of the culture of Romania, and then lead into what we do as well. Romania is an Eastern European country bordered by Hungary, Serbia, Bulgaria, Republic of Moldova, and Ukraine. City of Iași, where we currently work and live, is in northeastern Romania. It's about 25 miles from the Republic of Moldova and 2 hours south of Ukraine. Iași is the third largest city in Romania by population, the second largest in the metropolitan area. It's traditionally been one of the leading centers of Romanian social, cultural, academic, and artistic life. In December of 2018, Iași was officially declared the historical capital of Romania. The current population is over 613,000 people. Now, that may be small by San Antonio standards, but it changes. The number expands significantly in the winters because of the college students who attend university there. Monika likes to take pictures of signs. This one is of our local airport. Interesting, it's in English. Instead of a spot for arrivals and departures, we have a kiss and ride section. Driving in Romania can be quite the adventure. As you can see, the signs are quite dramatic, especially in areas where there have been a lot of accidents. Iași is home to a variety of museums, memorial houses, religious and historical monuments. It's also been called the city of 100 churches. The state religion of Romania is Romanian Orthodoxy. Most of the churches in Iași are Orthodox. The church also owns much of the commercial property in the city and has a significant influence on the government. On the main walking street in the city, we have both Orthodox and Romanian Catholic cathedrals and their seminaries, which exist about 100 meters apart. 70% of the Romanian population consider themselves Orthodox, while only about 7% are evangelical Christian. The Orthodox churches and monasteries are spread throughout the city. They are very ornate. Paintings of saints, Bible stories cover the walls and ceilings. The beauty of many of these churches communicate well the transcendence of God. Icons of gold and silver stand on pedestals, and it's common to see Orthodox believers weeping and kissing them as they come to worship. In mid-October of each year, there's a celebration called Sfânta Pereschiva in Iași. It's a time when faithful Romanian Orthodox travel from all over the world to Iași. Many thousands gather and wait in very long lines at the Orthodox Cathedral just to look upon and kiss the glass-encased coffin that they will pray and ask. Sfânta Pereschiva is basically an Orthodox nun who has done miracles in the past. And so they come and they kiss the glass coffin that she is encased in. Iași also boasts of many other kinds of Orthodox churches as well, including Greek and Russian Orthodox, but less than 3% of Iași's population attend evangelical churches regularly. So you can see that there is some very hard ground there. Iași is also considered Romania's oldest university city. Currently, the universities teach in Romanian, English, and French, which attracts students from all over the world. The tuition for medical school is around 12,000 lei, or $2,700 per semester, and the education standards are on par with the rest of Europe. In 2015, Monica began working with Ligia Luca to bring the gospel and to support Romanian mothers who have children with disabilities. The women that come regularly to the ministry meetings have become a close-knit group that celebrate everything from birthdays to holidays. Over the years, that outreach has gone beyond the borders of Romania into the city of Chișinău in the Republic of Moldova. In Romania, the presence of a disability in a family often results in family members being ostracized. Sadly, this is even happening in evangelical churches. We've been blessed to work and to live in Bethany Baptist Church. We work alongside Pastor Ciprian on the right. Sadly, Betania is the Romanian word for Bethany, has so few members that both Pastor Ciprian and his wife must work secular jobs to provide for their family. Despite the difficulty, however, I appreciate him for his dedication to pastoring those at Bethany Church. In the men's Bible study group, Ciprian and I currently are spending time helping the men understand how to read Scripture in context and properly interpret the text. We've often had very lively discussions, as not everyone has the same point of view for many of our subjects. I preach and teach regularly at Bethany Baptist. We have been with the church for now 10 years, and they see us as belonging to them. They're even calling us Romanian. This is one of the importances of long-term residential missionaries, that the people you serve eventually accept you as being one of them. The front of the Baptist Church has been losing... What did I say? Oh, see, I need her. not not an outsider as one who comes and goes, but someone who loves them and is willing to give up what they see as better to come and serve the people in the church. The front of the Baptist church has been losing plaster, and the tile that was set 20 years before is very dangerous to the elderly members of the church during the times of rain and snow. One of our supporting churches blessed us with enough money to buy all the materials to replace the tile. I was pleased that many of the men who attend our Bible studies also came to work as we removed the old tile. We mixed and poured concrete and did many of the necessary repairs so the tile could be set. One of the brothers who set stone professionally donated much of his time to see it was done properly. And as I helped cut and set tile, he had to watch me very closely until he was satisfied I could be trusted. The work expanded, as it often does, beyond plastering and tile work. Sadly, there is still much more work needing to be done, like replacing heating and air conditioning, repairing walls, and hiring an architect to design handicapped bathrooms on both the first and second floors. But, praise God, the work is proceeding. We're praising the Lord, the tile work's finished, and everyone is excited to see the progress in restoring the church. We had an unexpected repair during the early days of the demolition as someone entered the fenced-in churchyard, picked up a broken piece of cement, and threw it through the glass window of the church's front door. We don't know why. We also work with Ecclesia Church. Oh, that person never was caught, by the way. We also work with Ecclesia International Church. The church was started to reach out to the international students coming to Yosh. In 2017, I was asked to co-pastor the International Church with my brother in Christ, Paul Schneider, also an American. We meet in a renovated space formerly used as an art studio bordering the university dorms. What started out as a church made up of mostly university students has now changed. Families have become more of the backbone of the ministry. Some of these families are in Yosh as missionaries themselves. So it's a wonderful change to now also minister to married couples with children. One of the ministries we have recently started is called Yosh Tour. We do this at the start of the school year to help the new students get acclimated to the city. Part of the tour is helping them to navigate the bus and tram routes, to find and locate taxis and other means of transportation in the area. It's a ministry that involves the entire church and opens doors to getting to know new students. After the tour, we meet back at the church, share a meal together. University students, of course, love free food. And to further orient them to phone apps designed to help them pay school fees. One of the big attractions during the winter is our celebration of Thanksgiving. Many foreign students have heard about Thanksgiving. They have seen portrayals in movies and are curious what the celebration is all about. That curiosity opens the doors for relationship building and evangelism. And the meals are always well attended. Surprise, surprise. Even our church members get into the celebration, and thankfully they help us clean up afterwards. For Christmas, we have church service, and afterwards we have a meal and then fellowship together, since most of who are staying for Christmas are without family. So we try to be their family while they are away from home. It's an atmosphere we try to encourage all year round. Of course, the reason for Christmas is not the fun and games, but Christmas gives us another time to share the unique nature of what it means to be a Christian and to be part of a local body. We celebrate New Year's Eve in our living room with songs, prayers, and a reminder of God's grace over the past year, while also looking forward to what He's planned for us in the new year. it gets pretty lively. While various events occur throughout the winter months, Easter marks the beginning of several activities designed to evangelize and disciple members of the International Church. On Easter morning at first light, we meet in front of the Medical University to sing praises, pray, and preach the resurrection. At that early hour, it's always special, remembering that the Lord is risen and reigning on his throne. We follow up the sunrise service with a time of fellowship together at Pastor Paul's home. For 2 weeks following Easter, the medical students take a break from classes so that they can study in preparation for the exams. We take advantage of that period to plan 5 days away from Yash and have our annual international church camp. It's also our opportunity to invite pastors and teachers from American churches to come and participate in the teaching. We have Bible studies twice a day. This year's theme was John 15, Abiding in Christ. Camp is not only about learning, but in participating in group and team activities together. Again, our goal is to encourage a sense of family. We want people to know one another so well that familiarity breeds trust, and trust opens doors to gospel conversations. Here we all enjoy getting to be kids again. Team building can be a lot of fun. Having young families has created a new dynamic and challenge for the annual camp. Monika has chosen to serve the families by putting on a mini version of VBS for the kids so that the parents can participate in the teaching.
Who is the king of the universe? Who is the king of me? His name is Jesus. Jesus! He is the king of me. He is the king of the universe, the jungle and the sea.
Good job.
Again!
On her birthday, she received a message from a couple of little children that said, "I love you, Mrs. Monika." So, she has grandkids all over the world by now. It may not seem like much to us, but it means a lot to the children. It also means a lot to the parents, who not only know their children are being well cared for, but they too are being taught God's word. In the end, we are blessed to be able to serve the Lord by serving them. It's not often that we can find a concentrated time to disciple believers, so camp becomes a wonderful opportunity for those who can come. Immediately following camp, we hold our annual International Food Festival, and I would just heartily invite you to come and participate. It's a celebration of the foods and the flavors of different cultures represented in Yash. We encourage all the internationals who can cook to cook a dish they feel represents their culture well. Then other students come and taste the different dishes, judging what they like best. It is a competition. We had so many participants this year, we had to extend tables for the competitors outside to accommodate all of them. This event opens doors for us, again, to get to know internationals that we might not meet. And it opens doors to gospel conversations. The Lord has brought to Ecclesia and International Church this past year. Yeah. I did miss one. We had deep conversations about Christ and with many different groups, Muslim, atheist, and almost everything in between. It should be no surprise that to any of us that food and friendly competition opens doors to gospel conversations. The Lord's brought to Ecclesia International Church this past year brothers and sisters from West Africa to join with us. One young man brought me, as his pastor, a shirt from his home country. He was overjoyed when I wore it to church. Some of our students from Ghana honored me by making me an honorary West African. It is a blessing to have these students wanting pictures of their pastor in his African attire. Vicky is a medical student from Zambia. He asked for baptism this year. It was a joy to listen to his testimony of God's transforming grace and to participate in his baptism. God is good. Sadly for us, and this happens every year, graduation. It's bittersweet, but we are happy for them as they move on in life. Our prayer is that these students take the gospel with them wherever they go to allow them to influence others. Graduation also gives us an opportunity to meet and evangelize even their family members. We are frequently praised and thanked for the influence that we and the International Church has had on these students. Recently, another unique opportunity has presented itself, and I would encourage you to ask questions when we finish our presentation. But recently, another unique opportunity has presented itself to us. We have been asked to help facilitate the start of an anti-abortion ministry called Shield of Life. We are currently in the process of becoming a legal entity under Romanian law. When summer comes, we have more free time. We often try to meet some of the physical needs of both churches that we work with. At the International Church, we are much in need of storage cabinets, and since I know how to work with wood, I was given the job. Since my tools and workspace are in the attic of our home, it was necessary to pre-cut and carry everything into the attic for further assembly. It has taken a lot of time, but it is a big improvement on how we're able to use our space. I still have one more cabinet that I need to make when I return. I often have young people ask me to teach them practical skills. William, for example, is a surgical resident, and he asked me to help him build a wall on the stairs of his apartment. He has two small children and was afraid they might fall off the stairs and get hurt. It's fun to be able to pass on the skills that God has taught me and Monica over the years. For 9 years, we have planned a covered porch and a balcony for the renovated space at the church where we reside. Last year, God provided the funds, and we hired a Christian brother to oversee the work. Today, our entire space has been transformed by the addition of a balcony, and not only for us, but for those who come for Bible studies and other gatherings. As we end our talk, we want to share with you a little bit of our worship from the International Church. Our worship. It's our hope that you have not heard this is about Ken and Monica, because it's not. It's our hope that what you're witnessing is what God is doing despite our weakness. Let me end with this quote from Dwight L. Moody. And I quote, "Moses spent 40 years thinking he was somebody, 40 years learning that he was a nobody, and 40 years discovering what God can do with a nobody." I think that is probably the greatest lesson, is that when we make ourselves available, God can do far more than we can possibly imagine with us. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So if you have any questions, we'd be happy to at least try and answer them. Yes.
You're